I'm gonna disappear.
Losing it, losing it, losing it, losing it, losing it, losing it. If you got a story we don't care in,
so
it's happy or gory, so come share your losing it story.
Okay, so hi everybody. And welcome to Therapy Thursday, presented by Losing It. Yep. We decided that it was perfect timing to have a little addendum to Losing It because this quarantine has been going on for a very long time and people are losing it. Yes, they are. And they could use a little help. So I have a wonderful therapist here named Heidi Haddad. Hey, Heidi.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Nelsie. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, Heidi is a friend of mine, and she also happens to be a wonderful therapist. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and she had put out something on Twitter saying, hey, guys, my door's open if you need any help, and then she was inundated. So we thought, let's do this. Let's just put it out there, put it on the podcast, put it on the YouTube channel, and give people a chance to ask some questions and get some answers, get some help. Did I do that good? Did I get that right, Heidi?
You're blurry. Oh, yeah.
I'm blurry. Okay, was that a metaphor or am I actually blurry? What I was saying isn't quite clear or I'm not quite clear. Okay. Heidi.
I'm sorry. Okay.
So, in case you couldn't tell, this is a very serious podcast. There will be no laughter because things are serious, times are serious, and Heidi has no sense of humor. So,
you're blurry. That's all I have to say.
Oh, God. Just so you know.
Okay.
You've got, I can't bring you back. I can't bring us back. I can't bring us back.
Still blurry.
Damn it. Am I blurry?
As you were talking, I was thinking, do what Ronnie said. Put your hand up.
I did it, but you couldn't see me because you were laughing so hard.
You need to do it again.
Ronnie, am I blurry?
No. No, it's just the internet. It'll be fine. It's not gonna look like this. It's gonna be fine. It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant.
Oh my god. It's like, oh my god. Fucking hell, okay.
All right.
Really good. Need a touch up.
Makeup. Okay. Oh God. Oh.
At one point, you sounded like your dog.
That's my ab workout for the day. I am telling you.
Seriously.
Oh, that was fantastic.
My face.
I don't know how to get this back. I don't know how to get this back. Oh gosh.
That sound about right. I blurry. Take it from there.
Okay. Oh, so as I was saying, yes. Heidi Haddad is a friend of mine. You have got to get it together. She is also a licensed clinical social worker. She practices in Manhattan, but in these virtual times, I believe she has clients hither and thither and yon. Is that correct?
Hither and thither and yon.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if we can do this.
Oh, I haven't had coffee yet. Okay.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. I'm not making eye contact. I'm just telling you that.
The questions.
Okay. So Ronnie's telling us what to do. So anyway, we're excited about doing this every week. We're going to bring you questions that could come. You can contact us through losingitcontact@gmail.com. You can always tweet Heidi at, you tell me what it is, heart and what is it? Head and Heart Therapy.
Head and Heart Therapy.
Yeah. So you can tweet at hashtag Head and Heart Therapy. Yes. And
or just my name, actually.
Or just Heidi Haddad. And you can also do comments in the on the YouTube channel. That's it, Nelsie. YouTube channel. Retrieve that word and use it. Okay. So today is our first day. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm really excited about it. And we have a few questions that Heidi got via Twitter. So do you feel like you're ready? She's ready. Yep. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So we're going to start. Of course, I have to put the glasses on. For people who have been quarantining / isolating this entire time, suggestions on getting back to normal life / rejoining society. And this is from at bitchpoo415. So that's BICHPOO 415. So about getting back to normal after these crazy times, do you have any suggestions about that, Heidi?
So I think in some respects there is, I think we will be surprised at how easily people just return habitually to the same things that they've been doing prior. And even, and this obviously, this doesn't include all those who have been more adversely impacted, communities of color, the elder community, different communities who are not getting access to getting the vaccine as quickly or as having access to it in the same way that lots of other communities are. And there's just a big disparity and inequality and inequity in how it's being dispersed.
Has been dispersed. Well, let me ask you, because I know you have a thriving private practice, and obviously it all went to Zoom when this happened. What have you noticed anything specific, sort of as the days and months and have gone on and the quarantines continued? Are there certain things you notice in many of your clients or patients as a result of this, of the quarantine and the isolation?
I think
are people's anxiety up? You know what I'm saying?
I think people are doing the best that they can. And I think that people's anxiety is definitely up. And there is obviously a huge increase in anxiety across the board. I'm getting a lot of calls for kids to come in, for young preteens who are suffering from anxiety and the parents don't know what to do with them because they're not in school. I'm getting, and that they're not having their social connections that they're used to, just like the adults do. Everybody is suffering in that same way, where we are so dependent on social connection and we're not getting it in the same way. Now, while adults might be able to process it differently, kids don't.
Yeah, their brains are still developing. They don't have the experience. They don't have the skills, perhaps.
Right, right. They don't have the skills to figure it out. And so a lot of people are going to gaming, online gaming, and being on various social media platforms and getting sucked into that and then feeling bad about themselves because they're looking at the way everybody else is living their life, which is something that was happening before the pandemic, but now it's escalated even more so, where it's all these other people are having a great time even though they're in quarantine. All these other people are living their best lives even though we're in a pandemic, except for me, which is the narrative. And I think that within that, also, what I have learned is that whether you are in a relationship or you're not in a relationship, you are alone in your own apartment, or you are surrounded by 1,000 people, not a thousand because pandemic, but surrounded
and
by
it would
your
be
whole
so
family,
crowded in your apartment if you had 1,000 people.
Would be. Yeah. Is that everyone is still feeling similarly. They still feel alone. They still hit their wall. They're still done. Everyone's done. Everyone who thought this might be a couple months, might be a week, maybe whatever it is, and that it's now a year. People are now celebrating or recognizing, acknowledging the year. This a year ago today, this is when it started to hit. What I mean, what day is it today?
Today's the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think, I think on the 7th, this time last year, I was in Martha's Vineyard with 3 of my best friends from college, and it was all, it went from like, oh, it's going to be a couple of weeks to, I mean, it, actually lockdown hadn't even begun yet, but we were heading down that tunnel. And yeah, so it's been a year and everybody's hitting a certain kind of a wall, right. but it's landing harder on teens.
It's landing. I mean, I think it's landing hard on a lot of people just having to navigate. I have clients who are absolutely have the tools to figure out what they need to do or they're learning the tools in our work together. And they have that. And at the same time, they feel like they're falling down a deep, dark hole and don't know how to get out of it. And even though we can use the tools and talk about it, there's still this, when is this going to end? And when is my life going to be normal? And what is normal anyway? And so circling back to that original question, what is normal? To some extent, there will be some aspect of what we knew. I mean, as much as it's been a year is a blip in our lives.
Right.
I think it's not going to be that much longer before we look back on this and while we're outside eating, while we're inside eating, while we're at a show, while we're doing just hanging out with our friends and doing what we normally did without a mask, whatever that may be, that will be comfortable. That is more familiar. Something that we are comfortable and familiar with that's been going on for so much longer is going to supersede that which has been short and painful.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a good thing to remember.
Everything's temporary.
Everything's temporary. But I think it's the question of that, like when is it going to be over, which sort of creates this anxiety because you're waiting for it to be over versus like, well, this is how it is today. And how can I navigate today? Right. It seems to me like if we're always pre-pandemic, you know, it's not like we don't have different versions of that, you know. When am I going to be thin? When am I going to have a boyfriend? When am I going to whatever? This idea that what's happening now is unacceptable and I have to get over there for it to be acceptable, right? So those tools that you need in everyday life, we can use now. Would you say that rings true?
Yeah, and I think you're right that the idea that people are always, that we as a people are always looking at the other side as if that's going to be the game changer. And once we get to that place, everything's cool. I think I just was having a conversation with a client about this the other day. And as long as we are looking outward as opposed to staying present with right here and right now, we are always going to be wanting something other than what is.
That is so, I'm just going to breathe that in for a second. That is that's so true. And that's something that, I mean, look, we can see that. We can look at it on a, you know, on a Facebook post. We can needlepoint it. But to really live it and to really go, oh, that's right. This idea that thing out there is going to fix me or make me feel enough or whatever. And today it's exacerbated because we happen to be in this unusual situation, this pandemic. It's like, how do we make where we are right now okay? Which is a good question to ask regardless, but especially now, instead of going, when's this going to be over?
Right. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I agree with you. It's just the amount of energy we expend externalizing, wanting something over there, out there, somewhere, how, you know, if only I had that, only if I look like that, only if I was in a relationship, only if I was alone, only if I had kids, only if I didn't have kids, only if my parents weren't here, only if my parents were here, only if, then dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
that there is, if we quiet the mind and bring it inward and just breathe into, thank you for everything exactly as it is right here, right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
the one thing that we can 100% rely on is that everything changes. We have no control over that. Everything is temporary. Everything changes. And it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of who knows what that time is. It could be in the next 30 seconds once I finish the sentence. Or it could be a year from now. It doesn't matter. Just it's trusting that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing in the moment as it's supposed to be. And everything's going to play out.
If we can stay in the moment and trust the process versus having this anxiety about how do I get there and I don't want to be here. How do we have that acceptance and gratitude? I love that. That's really good to remember. I had some, I don't know if it was Abraham. I don't know if you're familiar with Abraham, which is like law of attraction, right? So I was listening to one of those and she was like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, what if your first thought is, I'm so grateful for my pillow. I'm so grateful for my bed. I love these blank. And I actually do that now. Like, not always, but I'm like, damn, look at me. And I really feel like it's a different way to start your day versus like, I can't believe this fucking pandemic is still here. I can't believe that I got to get my crown fixed. I can't believe, you know, switching what you put your attention on.
And waking up immediately to, oh God, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. Or I've got to do nothing. Should I go watch Outlander? Oh, I do have these things to do. And I feel so, and then berating yourself and flagellating yourself for not doing the things that you're doing. So to add on to the Abraham piece of just the being in a state of gratitude is an expansive, energetically expansive. Being in a place of fear is, it's like you're looking at the world through this tiny little hole. And if you actually did that, and I just did this with my son the other day of say, I said, look through this hole and look at, what do you see in the room? You know? And he said, I see this, that, and the other thing. And I said, okay, now open it. And now what do you see? And he was describing, and I said, you see how much more you can see when you don't just have like a little pinhole of a perspective. And he's like, yeah, he's six. So,
And very cute, by the way, extremely cute.
But it, in that conversation, we were having a conversation about racism, and he was like, why are people racist? Why does this happen? And why are people not nice? Or why are the police not nice to people of color? And it's like, you know, this and this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That is such a good point. Right. If we're really myopic. Wait, say that again.
Because that was a very simplified explanation of racism.
No, but what you're saying is if we, you know, narrow view, open view, fear, gratitude, you know, are we, you know, hate, love, you know, some things are pulling you in and making you contract and the others are opening you up. And so I love that. That is really good. So I think what you've said, ultimately, that was a pretty big question. How are you going to get us back? Which led us to a lot of other things. You know, how are we going to get back to normal? And I do think, this is going to be a blip. We're going to look back at it and, it's not like we're not going to know how.
For some, I mean, right? Yeah. And for others who have, and all, this is not to discount all the people that have lost someone they love. And that's a really huge one in dealing with the grief of that. So this isn't, I mean, it's a hugely general question. And obviously everyone is going to be impacted in their own individual way. And so this is what I'm saying includes all of that. And just as a general, like a umbrella, when people say New York is ruined and no one's ever, you know, come on, Broadway will eventually open the show. I mean, they're already doing it in little ways. So it's,
Exactly. And I think that, you know, for some people that sort of naysayer, you know, the Chicken Little, you know, the sky is falling thing, that's like a mindset that that you get in the habit of, and that there's some weird comfort in it. You know, nothing ever works out, because then if you're living in that belief that nothing ever works out, then you don't get to have hope. Then you don't have hope, and then you're never disappointed, which is a whole other road to go down. But I really,
a lot of people have that, hold that story.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? 100% hold that story.
Hold that story. And you know, to remember that it's a story. This is a story that we tell ourselves, right? Because I can wake up in the morning and be grateful for my pillow and my mattress, or I can wake up in the morning and go, you know, I still can't afford to get this crown fixed, right? You know, nothing ever works out, but certainly we can look at the world through that lens, or we can switch that lens, and it's work. It's not like switching the lens is automatic, because, you know, for me, my, you know, for all of us, I think we find these old thought patterns, right? So it takes work. So this one specific person, Heidi, and who's having this anxiety about it, what would you just, if she was sitting in a chair opposite you,
I'm talking about
Bitch Poo 495. Okay. Would, if he, she, or they was sitting in a chair opposite you, you'd just say, you know what? I mean, what would you say? Three simple sentences.
Everything that we just said, which is...
Okay, good. We got it.
What's the question again? Ask me the question. What do we expect? What are we looking for? How do we come back from this?
Yeah. Some tips for getting back from the quarantine, isolating.
One day at a time. Just breathe. Be in a place of gratitude. And each day will reveal what's coming. You just have to be present. Stay present. And I think to circle back to your... being grateful for your pillow. I think the other piece about that, not only is it not opening your eyes and immediately going to a place of anxiety or fear or stress or depression, it's just being present. You're just there with your pillow. You're acknowledging something that's there. One of the tools, CBT tools that we use about when you're in this spin of anxiety about anything, to bring your attention back, is to notice what's around you. I'm noticing this computer. I'm noticing the mirror. I'm noticing my butt on the chair and my back against the back, and feeling.
Get yourself back in the day, back in the moment, back in your body versus in some future place of fear or, right?
Right.
Yeah. And CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I really like, because back in the day when I first started therapy, it was just you lied on the couch and talked about your childhood. I did it for decades, and I'm not saying it didn't help, but there was a part of it where it was just a rabbit hole, sort of reinforcing my story of how broken I was. So right. I'm glad things have evolved a little bit. Of course, that was back in the 1890s. I was one of Freud's earlier patients. He couldn't help.
I can't tell at all.
Okay, I'm digging that. I'm digging that. Being in the present, let the day reveal itself, have gratitude one day at a time. Okay, so question number two. Okay, so what do you think about...
Around the back. Not, what's that show? What was that show back in the 70s with the three...
Was it to tell the truth?
Was it the original Bachelor? Like Bachelor number one.
Dating game. Mm-hmm. This is question number two for bachelor number three.
What would you say is your best, your idea of the most romantic date?
So therapist number one at CJCer 500 wants to know. Okay. So what do you think about spiraling anxiety? Also kids, maybe a little bit about partners too. I'm just not going to ask about everything too much. So I think what I'm getting from at CJCer 500 is that there's some spiraling anxiety going on around he, she, they, that might include kids and he, she, their's partner. So
I think it's a lot of what we just said and about bringing your attention to the present, and not the spiral is when we play the what if game. Mm-hmm. You know, what if my kids don't go to school? And what if they don't learn enough? What if they fall back on math? What if they can't learn how to read? What if they never see their friends again? What if I never see my friends again? What if I can't go out to the gym like I used to? What if, and then if I don't go to the gym and I start to gain weight, and then what if I gain 300 pounds? And then what if I gain 300 pounds and I can't lose that 300 pounds? And then what if, and people, that's the spiral, right? Yeah, the what if game times 100, and just take a breath and bring your attention back to the present, going to our answer to our first one, which is that, okay, it's kind of like a distraction. it's like you're dealing with a kid when a 2-year-old or 1-year-old is like, well, I want to play with that knife. And you obviously aren't going to, well, most people aren't going to give that 1-year-old a knife. And
do not and give so, your 1-year-old's knives. Okay.
Knife, right.
That's, so I think we can say that.
And so it's the bait and switch, right? It's like, yeah. You want this? Okay. Oh, how about, why don't you play with this? And mm-hmm. the kid immediately is like, okay. And they don't care. It's kind of like you're tricking yourself in that same way. You're bringing your attention back to the present to say, I'm feeling my hands. I'm feeling this. I'm noticing what's happening around me. And I'm not in my head spitting out about if I just gained 300 pounds and the gym's never right. open again. And I'm never, and I don't know how
and
to walk.
And I'm going to die alone and, right. and 300
pounds
overweight.
My family leaves me because I'm 300 pounds. Yeah. And yeah. yeah.
I have, my brother has,
what if I get diabetes? And then what yeah. if I end up getting cancer from that diabetes?
Okay. You are now giving me anxiety. We've got to stop because in my mind, I've just lost a toe. My brother has this saying, and I don't know if he made it up, but sometimes I'll call him up weeping, and he'll say, what if nothing's wrong? And I'll go, what? What if nothing's wrong? What if what's happening with your son, your husband, your dog, or whatever is what's supposed to be happening? What if there's nothing, what if nothing's wrong? Now, I know that doesn't apply to everything, right? If you've gotten a car accident, you've just lost a leg, okay, something's wrong. But when it comes to that anxiety where you're spinning around.
No, he's not, I don't disagree with him. It does even though it feels almost perverse to say that it applies to everything, it does kind of apply to everything because it is about how we are engaging with whatever's in front of us. Yeah. So whether we're in a car accident.
Yeah.
whether we're in something that feels, that is actually painful or emotionally or physically, or just there's a situation where I don't need to go through all the horrible things. You're in a horrible situation. Nobody's questioning. Nobody's saying, yeah, it's not that horrible. It's horrible. But something can be horrible and you can also find a way through by the way you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so it's,
mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm. Right.
That if, it may seem insane and intolerable and ridiculous, but it is also, it's life-saving and life-changing in how, what our outlook is. The outlook is this, like I'm in so much pain, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I survived the car accident and mm-hmm. I have access to dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Right. Medical care. But no, I have access to, this is not to dismiss the depth of feelings because we're allowed to have complex feelings. The depth of feelings, physical and emotional, psychological and all of that, if you get into a horrible car accident. And there's an and.
Yeah.
I don't know what the and is because the and is going to be specific to that particular person. Man, right. And maybe they find a connection with a person they never thought they'd meet. And maybe they tap into something inside of themselves that they never knew was there. And maybe they got a dog, you know, that saved their mm-hmm. life, changed their mm-hmm. lives. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you can either be in a hell and keep your hell inside your head or. Yeah. Change the way your head's thinking about it and engage with the world in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That I agree with that so much. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And that's why when my brother will say to me, what if nothing's wrong? And when he would first do it, it would just piss me off, you know, because I was like, what do you mean? Didn't I just list all the things that are wrong?
Right,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? And then he would go, but what if that's a story you're telling yourself? It's like, you're still pissing me off, but I'm listening, you know, because it's a journey from that idea that everything's wrong to, oh, well, what if this is what's supposed to be happening and changing your attitude, changing the filter on the lens, you know, from, you know, shit colored glasses to not even rose colored glasses, but just, you know, glasses that aren't determined to look at something a certain way, right?
Oh, right.
That's really good. I really like that. You know, when you keep talking about, you know, getting in the day and getting, you know, getting in, looking around the room. I had a friend years ago that would say, okay, wiggle your toes. Cause I, if I was, and it's like, oh, so then I'm back in my body, you know, and that's really helpful.
Right.
And one of the things that Svetlana, you've heard me talk about Svetlana, my life coach, said to me is, I think she's fantastic. I thought I was your life coach. Wait a minute. We can be each other's life coaches. We can be each other's.
You're a beautiful person.
It's reciprocal. Yeah. But she would say, you know, go out and stand in the backyard barefoot, you know, get your feet in the ground, literally ground yourself, which I think that in the, because I think it actually has some, being grounded to the earth actually does change your, I don't have the language because I don't understand it enough, but it can change the electricity in your body or something, the ions.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think it does.
And we're not getting that. Many people aren't getting that during the quarantine. So, you know, walk outside and find a place where you can just walk on the earth. I think that's helpful. All right. So, Ronnie, how are we doing time-wise?
We're at 30 minutes.
Should we do one more question, or do you think it's time to wrap it up?
I have one more question. Quick, little part.
Okay, this is a quick
one.
How
are you, Ronnie?
Okay.
Get quick.
Okay.
Therapy isn't quick, Ronnie.
Bachelor number 3 wants to ask you.
Great.
Heidi Haddad, licensed clinical social worker. I'd like to find a therapist for myself and my family members, probably not all the same person. The find a doctor list, that's in quotes, from my insurance, don't really give much info about the therapist. What's the best way to find a therapist that we can click with? And that's at Oliver Langan.
Psychology Today is a great website. Psychology Today, is it psychologytoday.com? Psychologytoday.com? I think it's psychologytoday.com, where it lists all of that. You could go in there and use the search button to search someone
therapist in your neighborhood.
Who accepts XYZ insurance. Isn't that what he's asking about, insurance?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the find a doc on his insurance didn't have much info.
Right. So that Psychology Today gives a breakdown of, you can see a picture, you can get a little more information about them, and what's it called? Use a filter and filter out what it is exactly. I'm looking for someone who deals with anxiety, who's in New York, who takes XYX insurance. It'll narrow it for you. And then you make your calls and start calling around. Also, the other piece of that is once you're in there, they're also tons of, I think that's a great way to find someone because they also have, because they list all the insurances they take.
Yeah, and I think, and don't, because I know my friend Patience is also a licensed clinical social worker. And then if you're, a lot of therapists, they're like on, they have a nice comprehensive little bio of themselves. You can see a picture of them, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good way to look. It's more personal.
And it'll also have, there's usually a link to their website so you can get more information. Yeah. But then the general thing is that you just have to make a bunch of calls. You can't, and just call these people. If somebody, whatever it is, the little bio that they write about themselves, plus their picture, whatever it is that attracts you to that person, call them and have a conversation and say, I'm calling because I have a kid who, or I'm struggling with this. How would you work with patient like that or a client like that? And what would you, how do you work? And don't be afraid to ask any question of the therapist that you want, because this is about you and you making the connection with that person. And so there are lots of people out there you're not going to be connected to, and lots of people that aren't going to do it that well, and lots of people that are going to rock your world. Who knows what it is for you, but it is, and same with your kids. Your kids need to be able to feel connected to that person too. So you do the first line where you find some people, then you start making those calls and saying, also ask your friends, see if anybody knows any therapists. Maybe they like, word of mouth is also a great way to do it. Is anybody seeing anybody that they love? Yeah. And which doesn't also mean it's going to be a good fit for you, but it's another avenue. And then also I do, as a therapist, get a lot of emails from various organizations looking to list me on their site. And so I think that even if you Googled, I don't know how they all work, but I imagine if you Google
find a therapist
in the area, let's say. Mm-hmm. But I would go with, but that seems even broader. So I'd go with Psychology Today and start there.
Yeah. And if you, I will just say as a person who's never been a therapist. This is not an endorsement
for Psychology Today. I don't get any money from.
But they're going to be advertising here very soon, very soon. But as somebody who's not a therapist, but has had plenty of therapists, if you're not liking your therapist and something doesn't feel right, something feels a little off, trust that.
Yep.
Get the hell out. Because just because someone has a bunch of letters behind their name doesn't necessarily mean they are good or safe. So,
and good or safe in general, and good or safe for you.
For you.
And don't be afraid to, if something, I double asterisk that. If you're at all in a situation where you are with your therapist and the therapist says something that doesn't make you feel good, actually, first I would say, tell the therapist. Tell that person, you know, hey, when you just said that, that didn't feel good to me because, or I didn't, however you're going to say it, but I would communicate that with them and give them an opportunity. If you like them besides that one moment, I would give them an opportunity to clean it up or to solve or fix or heal them that moment. So you don't just bail out, but give them a moment to have that conversation. Yeah. If they don't show up for that conversation in a way that feels good and safe to you, peace.
Get out. Peace out, bro. I have to tell this story because it's a good one. When I was 18 or 19, I was looking for a therapist and I found my way to this female therapist through, ironically, a therapy friend of my father's, and it was a colleague of his. And I went in, 19, depressed, talking about something. I don't even remember what I was talking. First interview with her. And she says something about, she's asking me a question about my father. And I said, fuck my father. And she said, oh, so you want to fuck your father? 10 minutes into an interview, first session, 19, I was like, here's the amazing thing. I said, well, whether I want to fuck my father or not, I don't really think that that is something that we should be talking about today. That was the right thing for you to say to me.
Good for you.
Walked out, never saw her again. So that's why I said that little disclaimer, because there's some cuckoo people out there.
Yeah, but that's also good for you, Nelsie, because most people don't walk out.
Isn't that amazing?
And they sit in the discomfort of it because I think that the therapist in some ways is in a position of power. It's just like a doctor or something where you think they know what they're talking about and you think that they know what they're doing, which, I mean, in some cases,
and
I mean,
many
plenty
of people become therapists or teachers or doctors or put themselves in positions of power for all the right reasons. But there are also people out there that maybe have skewed.
But it's just, it's still, I mean, we're all just still human. So some of us do just show up differently than other people. And just you need to, when something doesn't feel right, listen to your gut. And
listen to your gut. That's always so good.
In every situation.
So I think we did it. I think, boom, drop the mic. Drop the mic. Therapy Thursday with...
No, you didn't.
Heidi. Oh, no, you didn't. With Heidi Haddad.
You look so
1990. I am so 1980, right? And at times I'm 1970, so don't even start. I could go 1960 on you. You know what I mean? I could just start doing the twist.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do the jerk. Oh, boy. So,
what about the fact that I have a Buddha coming straight out of the top of my head?
Well, I think that's good. I don't think that's by chance that you have a Buddha coming straight out of your head. So, so we're going to be doing this once a week, Therapy Thursday, Thursdays with Heidi. And I'm really excited about it. If you have questions, you can reach her on Twitter at Head Heart Therapy. Heidi El Haddad. Okay, thank you. That's the voice of God.
I know, it's like God's voice is coming in. Heidi El Haddad.
And you can also reach us and ask us questions at losingitcontact@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Watch our YouTube channel if you're not already. For goodness sake, what's wrong with you? And I'm so glad you guys came. Did you have fun, Heidi?
Yes, I did. Thanks, Nelsie.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was really good. And we're here for you guys. All right. Have a good
week. Stay safe.
Stay safe, be kind to yourself and others.
Bye. Losing it, losing it, losing it, losing it,
losing it, losing it.
Losing it. You came and you listened to the story. I hope so much that it didn't make you sorry. And I hope so much that you'll come back again.
Losing It, hosted by Nelsie Spencer. Produced by me, Ronnie Whaley. Theme song by Hunter Williams. Follow us online on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all podcasting platforms at Losing It Podcast. Viewers can email Nelsie with questions or comments about life, writing, comedy, or even your own Losing It story for a chance to be on the Losing It Podcast at losingitcontact@gmail.com. For everything Nelsie and everything Losing It, visit us at nelsiespencer.com.